This episode is sponsored by me, Andy Hill, the host of this show. If you're looking for someone to support you on your family, wealth, and happiness journey, I'm taking on a select number of coaching clients this year. To work with me one-on-one for your family finances, go to marriagekidsandmoney.com/coaching to learn more.
Money is supposed to be like a tool to give you things that make you happy. And so if you end up dying with like $20 million, like what good did that do you? It might as well, each dollar might as well be like a stamp in a stamp collection.
Absolutely. This show is dedicated to helping you strengthen your family tree and live financially free. Welcome to the Marriage, Kids, and Money podcast, everybody. This is Andy Hill, and today we're bringing you another Best of MKM episode. This week, we're jumping back a couple of years to a conversation I had with my wife, Nicole, on our Bread and Wine series about the book Die with Zero. I share why it had such an impact on me and my financial future, and Nicole shares her thoughts on living for today versus planning for the future. It was definitely a favorite chat of mine from our previous Bread and Wine days. Without further delay, let's jump into this Best of MKM episode from 2022 with my awesome wife, Nicole Hill.
Can we start it like casual? Like, this wine tastes really good.
Super casual.
Let's talk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Bread and Wine. This is a candid conversation between a husband and a wife about all the stuff that's going on in our lives, and then we're having some wine.
While we drink the vino.
While we drink some wine.
Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. It's been a long week.
It has. It's felt like fall came and slapped us in the face.
Yeah.
Said, hey, remember life? Here it is.
Here's a
little baby. You little summer baby.
I know. Cake eaters.
Get a slap in the face, you cake eaters.
So let's get into it.
Sounds good. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about this book that like every single day you come home from your morning walk, you're like, really like this book. I'm like, yeah, I heard that yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before. like it's new news. I really like this book I'm reading.
It's hitting me at the right time.
That just means it's very authentic that you really, really have been loving it. And you just finished it.
I did, yes.
I have not read it yet.
Yes.
I want to.
All right.
But can you give us the Cliff's Notes version?
Of course, because that's better than reading a book.
Totally.
Absolutely. Well, you want to say what the book is?
It is called Die with Zero.
Yes.
And
it was actually recommended from, and I feel horrible, somebody somewhere told me to read it that is affiliated with this whole program. It was a listener. It was either on an email or an Instagram DM or somebody. So whoever recommended it to me, thank you. And I'll find it and then I'll properly thank you. But anyway, that's why I love this community, because y'all listen to our feelings and then you say, hey, you might like this one, buddy. And I sure did. I think it hit me. It hit me like the total money makeover hit me at 29 or whatever.
Really? 20. That big?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. Now, like that, though, I'm remembering that I shouldn't treat it like it's like
gospel.
The gospel and do everything it says. And I've learned that now. But the feeling I got from this one was just sort of an exhale, sense of relief. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of these concepts that you and I are talking about lately anyway, with Coast Fire, paying off our mortgage, just like stuff that we can do today to help us enjoy now, as opposed to waiting until 65 or 60 to be like, okay, now we can have fun. So yeah, I'm happy to talk about that.
Okay. So this notion of dying with zero, is that what it literally means? Like, die with nothing in your bank account?
Yeah, I mean, the idea around the book is, yes, use the money and resources you have here on earth while you are alive and die with zero. And it's controversial, man, because there's lots of people out there that are like, no, I want to leave. What about the kids? You know, I want to leave something to the kids. I want them to carry on this wealth and all that, right?
Right.
And I guess just so many good refutes to these points that people make that it just resonates with me, maybe because I come from a family that cherishes experiences. That's what he talks about in the book. It's his main principle is life isn't the accumulation of dollars or money. It's the accumulation of experiences. And those experiences help you to have a fulfilling, fun, exciting life. You don't want to look back when you're 65 or 70 and say, oh, I've got all the money now. Now let's go to Europe or climb that mountain. But your body isn't available for you to actually do that. I mean, yeah. you're out of shape, or you're not in athletic ability to do some of those things, but the time has passed for you to do them.
Like, do you remember when we were driving the other day and we drove, like we pulled up next to this Aston Martin?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. Gorgeous car. And I'm not even a car fanatic. Yes. Really, but like I noticed this car.
Yeah.
And you know, you like pull up next to it and you kind of like maybe expect to like look over and see like, you know, young hot guy, young hot girl. Like I'm thinking of like when Chevy Chase like looks in the car next to him. Yes. At that, you know,
vacation or
in yeah, Christmas Vacation. And you know, it's Christie Brinkley like with her hair flowing, and kind of expect to maybe see that. And it's this maybe 80-year-old man who's just like can barely see over the steering wheel. And I'm just like, that's kind of the reality of what I normally do see when I see a really expensive car. It's like, you finally get there and you can finally afford it, but you're maybe a little bit older.
Sure.
I mean, I don't want to say he was too old to enjoy it. I'm sure he was loving it and enjoying it. But man, wouldn't you rather have that when you're like 35 or 40?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the, you know, the conservative guy in me is like, well, there's a balance. You can't spend all of it right away. And I think the reason it resonated with me maybe more than some other folks is that I kind of have this super saver kind of mentality, or I have had it for the past, well, I've had it for the majority of my life, honestly, and I still do.
I mean, this is what I want to understand, though. When I met you, you were all about experiences.
Yes.
And you did live paycheck to paycheck.
I did. Yes, I did.
You, Lollapalooza tickets every single summer, yep. Coachella, sure, I'll fly out to California and do like a 3-day, you know, how much were the tickets? Probably $600, you know, and like, we were like, not making a lot in the beginning of our career.
Like $30,000 when we started dating, something like that.
Yeah. Right. 40,000, and so you were not a super saver. I mean, yeah. I know you've always kind of had that in your DNA. Like there's the whole story of like where you were moving cars and stuff.
Oh, valet.
When you were doing valet. Yeah. And then you would like go to the payphone and like check your balance on your like savings account. Like there's like that.
My investment account.
Your investment account. That's right. You know, so I know you have had it ingrained in your DNA, but you were okay with living paycheck to paycheck for experiences before we got married.
Yeah.
At what point did that change? Because it did.
It did change. I would say that when we got married, I felt a responsibility as a provider, as a man, you know, where I was like, hey, I need to do right by my family. I need to help them to get to the next level. So I was seeking out books and information and TV shows that supported that mindset. Also, I was starting to work in an industry that I really didn't like. And it kind of weighed on me being like, well, am I going to have to do this forever? Like, I'll do it, but do I have to do it forever?
Did you feel like saving was a way out of that?
Yes, I did. I felt like, hey, if I save a lot or if I check a lot of boxes, then I won't have to do it forever. An alternative back then would have been like, hey, maybe a career change, Andy. Maybe try to start your own business or something different.
And I wonder if you had, if maybe Dave Ramsey, his philosophies wouldn't have resonated as much with you.
Maybe.
I mean,
not.
I don't know. It's interesting to think about. But anyway, we are
where
we are.
It found me at the right time at that point, and got into it. And I don't regret anything. I don't regret it over the past 10 years. Reading the book, the Die With Zero book, there were some things where I was like, he was talking about living your memories and think, you know, a good example he gives. He talks about this guy that he knows that is building a big business. He's doing really well with it, but that's all he does. He works 80 hours a week, 90 hours a week. He's very dedicated to it. On the other end, he's got a wife, kids at home. They are growing and he's missing out on that. He even tells his friend, the author of the book, saying, once I hit 15 million, like slap me if I'm still doing this, punch me in the face and tell me to stop. Lo and behold, he hits past 15 million. He grows to 20 million, goes to 50 million. Business keeps growing. He doesn't stop. Ends up feeling regretful that he missed out on some important portions of his family's life, growing up, vacations, time with the family. And that just hit home for me as a family guy. Mm-hmm. He even talks earlier, like in your 20s, like there are experiences that you want to do in your 20s that when you're older in your 40s, 50s, even whatever, 60s, you're not going to want to do again. Like the Europe trip, right? Yeah. You'll go to Europe when you're 19 or 20 or 25 and you'll sleep in a hostel or you'll sleep on a futon or whatever, just so you can live cheaply, but experience so much for a week or a month. And you don't care because you're young and your back can take up sleeping on the floor or whatever. And I did that. I remember that. But when you're, can you imagine you and I going to Paris at 40 or whatever and saying, yeah, hey, sweetheart, I got us a hostel.
Right.
And there's community showers that we're going to share with this German couple. And you're going to sleep on the floor. Would you do that?
I mean,
no,
that doesn't sound.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't. But 20-year-old Andy like, would. But now that we've been sleeping in really lovely mattresses.
No, that's the thing. The stakes have gotten higher.
Yes.
For
so
what will make
that
us
trip will
happy.
Be 5 times more expensive and we won't be as excited to do it. So the point he's saying is like, these experiences are sometimes fleeting. Like there are moments in time where you're not going to get the opportunity to do this again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So take advantage of them. And it really helped me I think I did pretty good with regard to Bill Perkins' Die with Zero book in my teens and 20s. And then in my 30s, I did sort of this super saver Dave Ramsey philosophy. And over the past 2 years, I think I'm like coming out of that hangover. In a good way. I don't want to say it was bad. It was very good. I've had the chance to thank Dave in person and thank him for all that he's done for our family. And I really feel that way. But I think I'm ready for a different transition in my life.
Gosh, it's a journey, right?
Yeah.
You can't just read one book and then be like, that's it for the rest of my life. I'm never gonna learn anything new. I'm never gonna change my mind or evolve.
Right.
Right. And I think in hindsight, like hindsight's always 20/20. In hindsight, looking back at the journey that we went on, it was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, we did the fact that we did buckle down for that amount of time did allow us to, for you to like do your marriage, kids and money venture. And it allowed me to stay home with the kids. It allowed, you know, a lot of things.
Absolutely.
It allowed us the freedom right now that we have to have kind of jobs that we're happy with and don't feel like we have to chase the money.
And some travel when the kids were infants probably wouldn't have been that much fun anyway.
Totally.
You know, traveling with an infant on a plane.
Right.
I'd probably rather be at home anyway.
I think that's such a great point. Like all these ideas that we have of these vacations, they're like, I think that we glorify them in our brains of like what they'll be. But it's like you have to look at the actual what is happening in your life at that time. Like you're saying, like a vacation to Paris will be enjoyable at certain points in life, but not at every single point in life, right?
It'd also be a different vacation in Paris.
Yeah, and different, right, different accommodations, different things that you know, will make you happy. Like, I don't know that it would be a different vacation.
Absolutely.
Like we wouldn't probably when we're 60, we're not going to want to go to like the late night clubs and like, you know, go out dancing at night. Like it's going to be a very different, we'll probably do a Viking cruise where just like, you know, but it's just like, I find it interesting that you could swing so far the other way after like being a saver for so long. Like, do you really think that it's a good idea to not leave your kids anything or to not have...
Well, let's talk about it for us. That transition, I feel like, has been over the past 2 years, I would say. Like, I mean, you've seen it in me. Like, after I left my job and I've been doing this now, how much more have I loosened the purse strings?
Oh, yeah.
Hot tub, new house,
so
upgraded
much.
House, you know, upgraded kitchen.
And that's because
car.
You're not feeling like
feel
you have to go
anymore.
To a job that you don't like.
Yeah.
I totally get
and
it.
And we keep talking about Coast Fire. We've done a couple shows on it. It's just, it's a moment in time where I feel really good. Coast Fire, again, everybody's just when you get to that point in your retirement investing where you can let time and compound interest do the heavy lifting to take you to the finish line. And outside of that concept, this book hit at home even more. I'm like, oh my God. He has a formula that he puts in the book that is even less conservative of what I've done with regard to that. So with regard to Coast Fire. So
yeah.
I feel even more comfortable. Obviously, it's all just calculations. Nobody knows what the market's going to do. Nobody knows what inflation's going to do. So it's all a big guess. But based on what we're doing right now, I feel very comfortable. But the kids thing, let's talk about that. Do you actually, I read a book and I think it's a great idea, but what do you think? Do you think it's a good idea to leave no inheritance just to try to die with zero?
Man, okay. So I'm torn on this one because I very much do follow the let's have fun today philosophy.
Where does that come from for you?
For me, it comes from, I think, just both of my parents dying. Like, you know, my dad died very young. Yeah. He died at, like, I'm 6 years away from being the age that he was when he died. So I think about that. I think about how my mom shared with me that she had regrets at the end of, like, this was it. Like, I can't believe this is it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just things that she held herself back from doing. So I think that's where I get it from, at least. Even though, like, I'm also a little bit of a saver. Like, sure. I don't like a lot of risk. So, you know, I'm okay with, like, the bare minimum of save. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I'm like, no, I do want to have fun today. So I'm okay with that. It is a little bit of a shift for me. And maybe I need to go through the journey of reading the book and going through all of the, you know, little,
I think you'll like it. It's, like, not very
stories
mathy
that he tells.
It's
and
not
stuff.
Very like, hey, here's the facts and figures. Like, he talks about the calculation for about 5 seconds.
I'm in. If it's going to, like, allow you to, like, like, let's go on a really nice speech.
I was already on my way there. And this was sort of a kick in the butt to be like, hey, man. You're getting to be 40.
Don't look.
You did well.
Don't look.
Oh, she's stealing my wine, everybody. That is unfair.
Hey,
I should have brought the bottle.
Pour mine heavy enough. Okay.
You're right.
So it's a shift in thinking for me a little bit because we have, I think, up until this point, kind of like thought, like, yeah, let's leave our kids something. Like, we do have a paid off house. Like, well, let's leave them the house. Let's leave them whatever. But
can I counteract that with the point he makes in the book about leaving the kids something, right? So what he says, you're worried about the kids, right? You know, giving them something.
Yeah.
Why not help them while you're alive?
Totally.
Why not help them buy that house? Why not help them throw their wedding? You know, why not, whatever, buy
vacation
the playset
with them
in the backyard?
Yeah.
Like your mom did for us. Yeah. It was beautiful. Art vacation with them before they go.
Right.
Aren't those memories better served while you're here on earth? And charitable giving, for that matter. Forget the kids for a second. I want to leave $10 million to charity or whatever. $1 million to charity. That charity, he makes this point, that charity could use your help today. Yeah. That charity might not even be around by the time you die. But your help today could help them to have, you know, a great existence now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel that so much that it just makes so much sense to me.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't you rather, I mean, you were talking about your mom passing away. Wouldn't you rather have had another set of experiences with her?
I think so. Yeah. I think you're right. And that's what we decided to do with that money, was to set up a fund that would give us experiences with our kids in her honor and in her memory. But yeah, I think I would have rather have, like, gone on a couple of vacations with her. Yeah. That just wasn't how she wanted it.
Sure.
I think it all, like, a lot of this, like, comes from our childhood and,
sure,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, I'm not a therapist, but
play one on the internet.
I know enough to be dangerous about, you know, I do think that where we came from shapes us. And I think for my mom, it was, you know, she did not get an inheritance. Therefore, it was very important to her to leave something for her children. For me, yeah, she left us a little bit of something, and I would have rather have had experiences. So I think that's what we will do for our kids. So it is a little bit of a different shift in thinking for me, but I think I can get there pretty quickly.
Well, it's funny because you know me, how I get into things, and you always tease me about it. Andy.
Right.
I don't know. It just feels right. And it feels like it honors you too. It feels like it honors the life that you want to have with me and with our kids and the realities of what happened to your parents. Life can be short.
Yeah.
I mean, God willing, we live to 100, that we're healthy and we feel good. We feel good at 100, not like, you know, pooping our pants at 100.
Yeah.
No shame anybody puts their pants. call me Miles Davis. What is it? If pooping your pants is cool. Always pee in your pants. Anyway.
Consider me Miles Davis.
Some Adam Sandler humor back here.
Happy Madison Productions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm okay with, and we've also had an episode just a couple weeks ago where we talked about like not wanting to leave them an inheritance so that they don't.
Is this too repetitive?
Fight over it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that was the Lady of the Lake thing.
Kill
right?
each other.
I mean, that is true.
Or squander it away. Yeah, and then like, what is the thing that by the third generation, all the family wealth is gone anyway.
Yep, that's it.
So it's kind of like you
second
work
generation
so hard.
70% and then third generation, it's like 90%.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, we can help with that statistic by not even making it a statistic.
Yeah.
Are you looking for someone to walk alongside you on your journey to family financial independence? Well, I would love to help you achieve your goals and help your family thrive. I work with couples, individuals, and families all around the U.S. via video chat and can assist in the following areas: becoming debt-free, growing your net worth, crafting and sticking to your budget, reviewing Coast Fire plans, developing strategies to build generational wealth for your kids, and designing your future work optional lifestyle. Doesn't that sound nice? If you're interested in working with me one-on-one, you can book a time with me by visiting marriagekidsandmoney.com/coaching. I would love to help you strengthen your family tree and live financially free. Visit marriagekidsandmoney.com/coaching to learn more, or you can click the link in our show description. If you're looking to improve your financial situation, it helps when you're able to cut out unnecessary costs. Cell phone services are a necessity for sure, but we don't need to be overpaying for them, right? That's why I like Telo Mobile, a phone service worth talking about. We've been fully on board as a family with Telo for over 2 years now, and we are so happy that we made the switch. For us, the reception and data service is better than Verizon, and our costs were nearly cut in half. Telo runs on the T-Mobile network, and it's wowing new customers like us with their rock-bottom prices and stellar service. With over 10,000 reviews, Telo is rated as excellent on Trustpilot, and this is quite rare in the wireless world. Nicole and I went for the unlimited data, minutes, and texting plan for only $25 per month each. Isn't that crazy? You heard that right. $25 is their most expensive plan, actually. And Telo is running a special offer for MKM listeners right now. Check out Telo today at marriagekidsandmoney.com/Telo. That's marriagekidsandmoney.com/Telo. And use the code MKM20 to get 20% off on your first month of service for any Telo plan above that $10 per month mark. Again, use MKM20 to get 20% off at marriagekidsandmoney.com/Telo, and you'll be supporting this show. Hurry up. The code is valid until April 19th, 2024. marriagekidsandmoney.com/Telo.
The way we're raising our kids now with the financial education and even investing currently with them for their retirement, their wedding, their college, they're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
And if they're not, then they don't need any money from us in an inheritance.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if we didn't do well enough to teach them how to take care of themselves, then a big pile of money at the end of the rainbow is not going to help them much more either. It might cause more damage.
True.
That's my thought. Maybe I'm just
like winning,
filling in my
like
point.
Winning the lottery and then like being like going bankrupt 9 months later.
Exactly.
Like most people do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So I think we also need to talk about just like, who would you recommend this to, this book?
Yeah.
Would you recommend somebody who's just now starting their journey, getting out of debt, reading it?
I would recommend it to me like 4 years ago. Remember when you and I had a big fight about, I was into FIRE and I was like, oh man, financial independence. This is my way out. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was part of our reason to go see Jillian with our marriage therapist. Mm-hmm. I would recommend it to the super savers that think their only way out of a job they don't like is FIRE. I think that I would hate for divisions and relationships to happen during that period of time, when really all you need is a step back to maybe experience life a little bit and find some happiness. And again, you can't, there's no nothing wrong with changing a job or going after a small business venture that you're excited about. Raise hand here. There's no closed door in your working world, the options are open. And sometimes with your fire skills that you maybe gained, you can live on a little less for a little happiness. This book is fantastic for the super savers out there. It's not for somebody who's living paycheck to paycheck or figuring out or living with a lot of debt. This is I'm doing all the right things. I have to work in this job because it's what I'm supposed to do, even though it doesn't make me very happy. And I'm saving all I can in my 401k so that in 30 years or 20 years, I will be able to be happy then. No, don't do that. Don't hold back, because the things you're able to do now, you might not be able to do them in 20 or 30 years.
Yeah,
because I think I've drawn a lot of folks in fire in my minutes in this world.
Totally.
I think it could do well for people who are in the fire community
to just kind of balance things out.
I feel like I'm in the fire community.
All right, so let's do some key takeaways.
Okay, well, let's say hi to some people. We got 14 folks with us right now. It's very nice. Hey, everybody.
I'm just gonna say hi to Carlos, even though
you didn't even check if he was there.
I didn't even read any of the names, but I know you're here.
You're right. Carlos says hello, guys, and he said it's not what you leave to your kids, it's what you leave in them. I like that.
Why you like that?
He's like a guru. Yeah. Are you a guru, Carlos? You guruing us? I love it. It's true. And I think that's so spot on, Carlos, because these lessons that we're teaching them are really going to help them to have a great life. Not the dollars.
It's teaching them to fish, not exactly. You know, giving them a fish.
Giving them some fish, right.
Because that'll be gone.
Scott quickly. R. says, you convinced me. I just placed this on hold at the public library. Good. I'm glad you're checking it out. And he also says, YOLO versus fire, probably in the middle.
YOLO.
Hard balance to find. YOLO is a you only live once, you know?
Oh,
and then fire's like, whatever, super saver. And then YOLO is like, hey, I'm going to spend it all today. It is a balance. You got to find that balance. I'm not saying we're going to spend all our money right now, but things like mortgage freedom and Coast Fire and these concepts that are like, hey, we're done. We checked the boxes. Like, let's live, man. Let's live and enjoy. Again, these can be some privileged statements here, obviously.
Well, that's one thing, though, that I do like about the Dave Ramsey, like his saying about live like no one else so that you can live like no one else. Like, exactly. I love that it's like a means to an end.
I agree.
And not just like, hey, you're going to be like this forever.
So don't forget the means to the end. Don't forget the end.
Right.
Like when you get there.
Right.
Celebrate. And I would love for us to be the manifestation of that, for people to see, hey, you work very hard. We're going to show you some cool stuff. So I almost want to change my content a little bit on this channel, on my blog, to sell the show, maximize your life experiences. Because that's what Bill Perkins is all about in this book. It's like, maximize your life experiences.
Yeah.
So I might even, I don't know, I might change things a little bit.
Okay.
Because it's fun to live.
Very.
Yeah.
Life-changing.
Absolutely.
For you.
Why don't we do those takeaways?
Okay, so
I would say takeaway number one, if you find yourself in the camp of I've been doing all of the right things financially and I've got a job and I'm saving as much as I can and I know that I feel like I'm doing all the right stuff and my balances are accumulated and I'm feeling good about that, I would check out this book. You don't have to like every word that this man says. That's okay. And that's also what I've learned about books. You don't have to take every word that we're saying right now or a book says.
You could take 50% away or 10% away.
You could take one thing that's like, hey, that was actually kind of cool. That made me rethink. As long as somebody helps you to kind of rethink things that you thought were your universal truth, I think that is just, that's beautiful, because change is great. Change is beautiful and it can really help you where you are. So I guess my first takeaway is check it out. You can get it on Audible. Audible is great. I use it on my walks because I don't really sit down and read very much.
I'm tired. I wonder if they have it on Overdrive or Libby. The library.
Yeah. Our friend Scott R. just said he put it on hold at his library. So
yeah, at the library. But I wonder if that's the written copy or, you know, the library also has the.
If you do Audible, you get the free first credit for free, too. So you can try that, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my first take.
I like when somebody reads it to me.
Exactly.
So that I can be doing lawn work.
That's why we do the show, because you guys could be listening and doing other things if you'd like.
Okay, so my key takeaway number two would be, and I'm going to totally steal it from you, but just I love it that much, is that, you know, you got to think about these experiences. Don't just keep kicking them down the road. Like, I'll do the European vacation when I'm older. We'll do that ski trip when the kids are, you know, when we have more money when they're a little bit older, because you know what? Your knees might give out. Yeah. You might not want to go skiing down a gigantic mountain in Tahoe when you're, I don't know, 55. Like, figure out a way to do it now. And maybe you're not staying at, you know, the most luxurious place, but heck, when you're 20 or 30 or whatever, like, your expectations might be a little bit lower. So, like, take advantage of the journeys all along the way. Do the vacation in an age appropriate way. Yeah. And, like, you know, just like, I don't know, it's whatever. Like, I would just say, keep in mind that it's not always going to be better later.
Exactly. That these experiences that seem like a good idea now may be fleeting. Like, I was in a cover band in my 20s. And as much as I think that would be great to do right now, I think I would love to do that. But I think, I don't know if I would be able to find the guys again and want to be in a dirty bar. We did our calls or whatever our times were. Like, we had our first show was on a Wednesday at 1 a.m. Like, I could never do that now because I'm an old man, man. I love going to bed at like 9:30. Yeah. You can't imagine me being at 1 o'clock. No, so anyway, yeah. These opportunities, sometimes they fade.
Yeah. So, like, to use one of my favorite quotes, done is better than perfect. Yes. Like get that stuff done that's on your bucket list now, because it doesn't need to be perfect. And if you could do it again later in life, do it again. Yes. In a different way, stay at a nicer place or whatever. But like, yeah, don't keep kicking it down the road, because once you get there,
you might not want to do it.
Mind and body might be in a different place.
Totally. Totally.
All right. That was a long key takeaway.
That's a good one.
What's the third?
Well, key takeaway number three, because I feel like I've just kind of flipped my entire script here, is that I'll finish with like a savvy kind of comment. Do this when you feel comfortable. You know, if you are in credit card debt, or if you are not living on a budget, or you don't know where your money's going, this message is not for you right now. You need to have control of your money and tell it where to go and get yourself out of debt. And then you get to a point where you're checking those boxes. Hey, I'm investing enough. Or, hey, I've got enough to buy my first house or whatever. Check those important boxes where you're feeling comfortable. And then look at something like this. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have gotten all of your ducks in a row. And yeah, maybe if you're going to sequentially read some books, check out Dave's book, Total Money Makeover. And once you feel like you've done a lot of those things, check out Die With Zero, Bill Perkins. It's been pretty good for me. And honestly, there's a big 10-year gap in between those two reads
right. For
me. So it depends on where you are in your journey. This isn't for everybody right now. As I was listening to the book, I was like, okay, there are some privileged statements in here. He's talking about these multi-million dollar trips or whatever. You know, it's like, okay, that's really neat. Even for us, that's like, okay, we're probably never going to be able to do that. But it did hit home for me that experiences are important. And it got me thinking of the things that Nicole and I have done already, even in our marriage, and how thinking back on those experiences bring me so much more joy than looking at my Vanguard investment account balance. Mm. That's really it. Ugh,
good. I'm so glad to hear that. Because sometimes I feel like it can become an obsession.
Yes.
You know, like, make that number go up. Like, let's keep looking at the numbers. It's almost like that dopamine hit when you like see like that you've gotten like a lot of views on a video. Yes. Or something.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, ooh, the number's going up and up. Sure. And up, even though it like really doesn't even mean anything. Well, you haven't done anything with it. Money is supposed to be like a tool to give you things that make you happy, right? Like, it's, and so if you end up dying with like $20 million, like, what good did that do you? It might as well, each dollar might as well be like a stamp in a stamp collection.
Absolutely.
What did it do for you?
Even $500. Like,
get any joy with it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Unless you really like collecting like dollar bills. I don't know.
And I see some people on the other side saying,
you just want to swim through
yeah.
it. I guess
that. And that's the exact opposite of what I want to do or what I want to be. I mean, I think Scrooge McDuck's almost a hyperbole of himself. Like, it's like, but some people might think that's what it is. And I always thought it was kind of a joke, but maybe not for some people.
Yeah. Maybe people literally do just want to hit that number and then they feel happy dying. For me, it's like, what does the money equal? The money equals this vacation or this experience with my kids or this activity or these lessons that I'm able to learn, like at a piano lessons, and I can learn a new skill. Like, that's what the money equals to me. Sure. So if I never like, let it equal those things, I feel like it's a waste.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say one point that he makes in the book that emphasizes what you're talking about is that a lot, I think it's one third, he says, one third of retirees that have set themselves up in a good way end up increasing their net worth over their retirement time frame. Ah! So that means it's not going down. They yeah. die with more than they had when they started retirement.
That just seems wasteful.
And I feel like super savers like us or that we've done would be in that camp. We're going to set ourselves up where we're going to have a big amount of money at 60 or 65 and be like, okay, now we can spend it all.
Yeah.
But then
but we're going to be so tired. We're not going to want to spend it.
And it's like,
what do we even want to buy with this?
Exactly.
I guess just give it away.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, nothing wrong with giving it away, I guess, but. Yeah. We're here. We're only here for a short time.
I just don't. That's great if you're in that position. I just don't want to suffer in the meantime to get there. Exactly. Like that doesn't seem like the end of the rainbow to me.
I agree. Tell me your four.
My key takeaway number four, and I know we're like so over on time.
I'm just joking about this topic. I'm sorry, everybody.
Just super quickly, because I feel like we need to hit like the kid thing.
Yeah.
That I just key takeaway number four for me would be like I'm super excited to go on vacation with your parents this. You know, in February, and that's going to be an experience we get to have with them. And I just feel like, why not spend our, like, so key takeaway number four, I guess, would be having experiences or like in letting your kids, instead of like leaving an estate or like a huge, like, endowment to them. Why not? I mean, just consider like, what would it be like to end up spending that while you're still alive and can see them enjoy it?
Absolutely.
Whether it be vacations or like my friend whose parents were like, you know what? You want to build a house and this is going to be the house that you raise your children in and live in forever. Here's your inheritance now. Like, we'd rather you build this house while we're alive. We can see you and enjoy it. We can see our grandchildren living in it. I think that's beautiful. So,
well, it sounds like you and I are driving on this topic.
All right. Kids, you're getting nothing.
Yeah. Hey, kids, I know you're out there. You're not getting anything. Cheers.
Zero. Okay. Happy Cheers Friday, to that. Everyone. Bye.
Everybody, thank you so much. As a quick reminder, the show is for entertainment purposes only, my friends. Be sure to seek out a professional for your specific financial situation. Before we go for the day, I want to ask you a quick favor. If you liked this episode, if you liked the show in general, please consider sharing the show or this episode with a friend and or sharing it on social media. The best way for more people to find and consider this show is from recommendations from people who actually enjoy it and listen to it. So please text a friend with this episode or another one of your favorites. Tell them why you like it and why they should check out Marriage, Kids, and Money. Or better yet, you can share it on social media, shout it from the rooftops, and tell a bunch of your friends. And be sure to tag your friend Andy at Marriage, Kids, and Money on Instagram or Facebook or at Andy Hill MKM on LinkedIn. I appreciate your support in growing this message of family, wealth, and happiness. In the spirit of growth and inspiration, I'm going to end the show with a quote today from Bill Perkins. We all have at least the potential to make more money in the future. We can never go back and recapture time that is now gone. So it makes no sense to let opportunities pass us by for fear of squandering our money. Squandering our lives should be a much greater worry. Best wishes on finding your balance of living for today and planning for the future, my friends. Carpe diem.